Genesis chapter 6. So we'll study out of God's Word this morning, four verses. And these verses have created little problems for folks along the way. So we want to take a few minutes this morning to study these things out by cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture so that we can understand what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the sons of God, Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, we just have a real kind of a brief outline, and I give you these, for those of you who don't know, I give you these outlines so that you can take this information home and remember it, and that gives us a chance to run through the lesson here. But if you have a Scofield Bible, I think in the Scofield notes, it probably says down below that these are a godly line of Seth. And I'll tell you something, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of us are in Adam when we're born and not in Christ. And so consequently, there's no such thing as a godly seed. You don't get godliness in you until you get Christ in you. And there, of course, there's a little bit of difference in the Old Testament economy and the New Testament economy. But suffice it to say, God has got to impute some righteousness to you or you have none. And you're not going to end up with a line or a seed producing out of Adam something that it turns out to be godly. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, marvel not, you must be born again. God has got to impute righteousness to you, which means to account righteousness to you, and he will not do that if you don't have Jesus Christ in you at this time. Brother John prayed for you this morning. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, then you need to trust him, and he'll give you his righteousness, and after that he'll fix things up and you'll be godly. You may not look godly, but you'll be godly. Now, this thing here is something else. These sons of God, we're going to study some cross-references in this morning and kind of figure out who they are, but I'm going to tell you something. They didn't come from down here. They came from somewhere else. They're space cadets, outer space men, or something like that, if you want to call them that. And there's a vast amount of information on them, and we want to study what that information is. All right, turn first of all to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. I guess it's good that we're studying about the sons of God and men coming from up there in space this morning. People always want to be talking about something concerning Christmas. We'll be talking about Santa Claus today. But he's different than what you thought. Job chapter 38. Now, just for the context, look in verse 1. Job and Elihu and the three friends have all been talking for a long time. God finally shows up and says, I'm going to straighten it all out. Verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, and then he begins to ask him a bunch of questions, which to this day a lot of people have not been able to answer. All right. Verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Now, when the Lord laid the foundations of the earth, Adam wasn't here yet, okay? Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Watch it. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So they're there before Adam, so they can't be Adam's offspring, because they're shouting for joy when God is performing the creative acts that lay the foundation and the cornerstone of the very earth on which we stand now. So when the morning stars sang together, the stars are singing. We'll see more about why stars would be singing. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. These guys are called sons of God. In the same way that Adam was called a son of God in Luke chapter 4. Going all through the line that leads to Jesus Christ backwards, it goes all the way up to Adam, and he says, because he was a son of God. Why are these sons of God? They're sons of God because they were created. All right? You and I were hatched or born from Adam. Adam was the one that was created. These guys were all created, and they're called sons of God. All right, and notice now, these fellows that are around there are have a bad connection when they show up in the earth. Look in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. You might want to make a note in your outline there between item number 1 and item number 2 that there are years that transpire between those two events. In Job chapter 1, we're dealing with something now that takes place about 1700 or 1800 B.C., but Adam's here around 4000 B.C. We're talking about something that's years later. These sons of God show up, and look who they're showing up with. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and who was with them? Satan. That's not good. Satan came also among them, and the Lord said, Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Well, now Satan is up there in heaven talking to the Lord, but he'd been down here in the earth scooting around all over the place. You see that? So if he had to go from where he is on the earth up there to where God is, he had to travel through space to get there. And the sons of God are with him. They came to present themselves before the Lord. Look in Job chapter 2 after the first temptation against Job. Job chapter 2 and look at verse 1. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them and to present himself before the Lord. So they're connected with the wrong side of the street. They are called sons of God, but their connection is with Satan. And they have the ability to present themselves before the Lord, and then evidently ability to be down here in the earth moving around. Now these guys, look in Jude chapter 6, Jude verse 6, excuse me. It's on one chapter, Jude verse chapter 6. That's what you see. Ooh, man, you really do have a modern Bible, don't you? Yeah. Jude verse 6. These sons of God are also called angels. In the outline I said formerly called angels. Actually, they were angels at the time, but they're also referred to as angels. And notice this in Jude verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. Under the judgment of the great day. They're angels. That's why we refer to people that the devil led in revolt against the Lord as fallen angels. That's why. Because the Bible refers to them as angels. Now, notice that thing there. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. See that thing? There was some sort of a state that they had before that then changed after they left their habitation. Well, let's talk about that for a second. Let's see if we can figure out what that change is about. Okay? Now, there was a day when an angel came and presented himself before Mary and announced to her that she was going to give birth to Jesus Christ. Right? Could she see that angel? What did he look like? What did he look like? Looked like a man. Looked like a man. And identified himself. All right, there was another time when an angel presented himself to John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, and began to announce to him that his wife and Elizabeth and him were going to have a child, and she was already past childbearing age. Could he see that angel? Yeah, he did. What did he look like? Looked like a man. All right, there was a time when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, they went down to the tomb to take a look around in there. And at one time they saw two angels, and another time they saw one angel. What did they look like? Looked like men, and they were dressed in white, shining clothing. All right, then when the angels go in to announce to Lot that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed, they come in there, and homosexuals of the town, the Sodomites of the town, saw these guys, and they come to Lot's door, and they say they want to get to know these men. So angels have the ability to appear so that you can see them. Manoah's wife, in being announced about the coming of Samson, met a man, And he turns out to be an angel. And when they perform that sacrifice, that angel does wondrously and goes up, and that sacrifice is flame. So they have the ability to appear and so that you can see them. And they look like men, and then they have the ability to also disappear and leave, and whoosh, like that angel did when Manoah's wife was announced, the birth of Samson, went up into that flame. They've got the ability to do that thing. As a matter of fact, Hebrews tells us to entertain strangers. Why? Because you might have entertained angels unawares. Unawares. And so they have the ability now, but these angels lost their first estate when they left their habitation. Something about them changed so that they weren't able, evidently, to leave, and that's after they came to a point of death, they were reserved in these chains of darkness. Well, let's go back in our text there in Genesis chapter 6 and see what that's about. They don't have wings. No. Oh, yeah, right. They always show up with wings like that. Zechariah chapter 5 pictures some women that show up with wings. Okay, but back to Genesis chapter 6. And notice again, we read something. I actually stressed this word, but you might not have heard me stress it, so we're going to look at it again. Watch this in Genesis chapter 6. And look at verse 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Something happened. When they came here, that appearance gave them a kind of flesh that trapped them, to where they couldn't go, where once they had joined with women, they couldn't leave. Trapped them. Notice what happens then. Look in Psalm 82. Psalm 82. So it trapped them in that flesh. And as a result of that, notice what happens to them when they die. Psalm 82. Now we could read all the way through the psalm, but we'll just pick up verses 6 through 8 and watch this. Psalm 82, verses 6 through 8. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children, see that, of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall, call them fallen angels, like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. And the context is Second Advent. We'll actually look at this judgment or about the Lord judging all nations and judging the earth. Excuse me, inheriting all nations and judging the earth. We'll actually see some stuff here. But notice, ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So they changed. They got trapped in that flesh when their bodies joined with women. And the reason is they weren't designed to join with women. I mean, physically they could, but that wasn't God's designation. Remember what he says to us about the angels in heaven when the Sadducees came tempting him about the resurrection? And he says, neither shall they marry, talking about us when we get in heaven, for they shall be as the angels in heaven. The angels in heaven weren't destined for marriage. When they joined themselves with these women, they lost their first estate. And though they were gods, they died like men. So it was a real change there. And now go back over there to Genesis chapter 6 and notice when they joined with these women, something remarkable happened. They actually conceived. The women actually conceived, which is remarkable. And in verse 4, notice what their offsprings were. Yep. There were giants in the earth in those days. Semicolon, and also after that. So after the flood, they're still around, so it's still happening. Those guys are giants, and when those children are born, the same became mighty men, verse 4, which were of old, men of renown. They were the big, we call them big shots. They were the big guys, the giant guys. You know, one of the things that caused the people to really want to follow Saul when he was made king over Israel is that he stood, as we say, head and shoulders over the rest of the crowd. And so they, and today, you know, they like that. The fast athletes and the big tall guys that play basketball and all that kind of stuff, those are kind of like superstars, you know, they big men around. Well, that's what these were. Now, just as a side note, if you wanted to find out where men in the earth were influenced to come up with Greek and Roman mythological gods, Zeus and Hercules, and probably right here. Probably right here. This is very close still to creation, and in that sense, we're dealing with something around 3000 BC. You know, this answers a lot of questions about pyramids and how they got all that done, and they've talked about 100,000 people rolling all these stones up there. Well, it depends on how big some of these dudes were. Man, you get a few of these guys on the job, and who needs a forklift? You know? Plus, you know something, when you go through and study things like pyramids, there are some very, very unique characteristics, pyramids. You can determine the you know the formula that we use for the circumference of a circle? Those coordinates are figured from a pyramid. And you know when they went in there and they began to study the Great Pyramid, there is a tunnel that leads from, I think, the King's Chamber straight out, and it points right at the North Star. It's a weird and very unique thing, yes. Right. Right, and then it says, and also after that. So evidently there was more sons of God. This isn't all of them. You're going to see there'll be more here in the future. There were more sons of God that cohabited with women, and we're going to actually look at that. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 2, and you'll see them. There's a whole bunch of them. Goliath and Og, king of Bashan, are not the only two after the flood. When the Jews got ready to go into the land of Canaan, what was it that convinced them not to go in there? When those spies came out? The giants. And man, look how big this... They come out with one cluster of grapes, and they got two men on a stick. Listen, you and I can go down to H-E-B and buy us a cluster of grapes and stick it in a grocery bag and carry it. Yeah, but they got that stick and put that cluster in there. There was some big stuff happening up there in the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, he starts talking about who's in there. Verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 2, and look at verse 10. The Emims dwelt there in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims. Tall, see that? Tall. Which also were accounted giants as the Anakims. But the Moabites call them Emims. Well, the Moabites don't show up until... Where did the Moabites come from? Remember? They come from Lot through an incestual relationship with one of his daughters. The Moabites come, I think they're from the oldest daughter, and the youngest daughter has a son named Benami, and their offspring are the Ammonites. Well, that's all after the flood. So those giants, the Moabites called them that, then that's all after the flood. They're back again. Verse 12, the Horims also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau, that's all later, succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, and Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Let's see. Look down here at verse 20. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites, see that's after the flood, call them Zamzumims, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. So they're back again. Back again. Now, as you saw in Jude, after their sin, and they lost their first estate, when they die, they're put in chains of darkness, and these chains of darkness are everlasting chains of darkness, and they're reserved in there. They can't get out. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice they actually sinned. 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, so that's where they are, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So after their sin, they are put in chains, these everlasting chains of darkness, and they're down in hell. That's where they are, hell down there. And they're no getting out for them, and then watch this. There are going to be more of them. You want to kind of check a look at this in just a little bit. There are going to be more of them. They'll come in the tribulation and right up until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a number of references here for you. Let's go first of all to Revelation chapter 12. Now I'll ask you, are y'all cool or comfortable? Comfortable, good. Okay, great. All right, great. Revelation chapter 12 and look at verse 4. Now, that's right in the middle. Let's go up to verse 3. Well, let's go to verse 9. I could bounce you all around here for a second. Let's see who this dragon is. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called whom? The devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. All right. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Got it? Now go to verse 4. Verse 3, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, the great red dragon, that's going to be the devil, see, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. His tail drew the third part of the, what? Stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. That's a strange thing there. He brings the stars with him, and yet later it says the angels. How many of you remember this in Revelation chapter 1, that when John sees the Lord, he sees him there with seven golden candlesticks, and he sees him with seven stars. Remember that? And in Revelation 1:18, it tells you who the stars are. The seven stars are the seven angels of the churches. Now, in case you're wondering, I've told you before, this Bible controls the universe. It just does. And men have to submit themselves to this book eventually, whether they want to or not. We have a city in this country where movies are made. It's called Hollywood, which looks like holy. Hollywood. Hollywood is in a city. And the name of the city it's in is called what? Los Angeles, which is really Los Angeles, which stands for the angels. And if you are in movies and you are spectacular, they call you a movie star. Strange, isn't it? Just tidbits of information that you're not going to get from Dan Rather in the CBS Evening News. If you wonder why there's so much perversion coming out of there, now you see the sons of God, you understand exactly what's going on. They're under an evil influence. And it's unfortunate when a government uses its First Amendment to allow that kind of stuff to go on. The First Amendment was never intended for that. Never intended for that. All right, so we see that these stars that get drugged by the tail of this great red dragon end up in verse 7, having war in heaven with Michael and his angels, fighting against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels. So they're around. There's some space creatures, and they are cast out with him into the earth in verse 9. They're coming back. In verse 9, we're cast out into the earth, and his angels are cast out with him. Not into hell, but into the earth. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So there's a short time here in the earth when those angels that get cast out with him are doing things for him in the earth. Now, one of the things that's going on with them is that some of them, they are men of renown. Remember that from Genesis chapter 6? They're men of renown, old time. Some of these guys are actually used as kings in the Antichrist kingdom. Look at two places. You have to put these both together now. You can't get this from one or the other. Look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. The significance of the horns on the dragon have to do with kings. Matter of fact, there's a movie out. I think it's called Dragon Slayer. that the name of a movie out? And the dragon in that movie is red, and he has 10 horns on his head. Revelation chapter 17, look at verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Okay, so there's 10 kings. Those were represented by 10 horns on the devil's head when the devil appears in that dragon form, Leviathan. Now look in Daniel chapter 2. That's right after Ezekiel in your Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, and look at verses 42 to 44. Right before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember they had but a short time. Daniel chapter 2, verse 42. Just real quick for the context, Nebuchadnezzar has dreamed about an image. Head of gold, silver body, basically brass loins, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay, 10 toes of iron and clay. Okay, that's what you're reading about here. Whereas thou sawest the, verse 2, 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they, the toes, that's the only thing in the context, shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Same thing. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, that's what the toes are, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, second coming, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, second coming, it shall stand forever, second coming. So they mingle themselves with the seed of men again. And now you've got movies out about things about half iron, half people, things. Transformer, I think, was one of them. And then you've got others. I don't watch enough to know. I don't want to have nightmares at night when I go to sleep, you know. Okay, so it's going to happen again in the tribulation. Whether that's going on now or not, I cannot tell you. I look at some of those rock stars and I think it's going on again. Weird stuff, boy. All right. But they will be judged. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We looked at a verse about that already, but let me show you where the judgment actually takes place. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, they will be judged. Remember, you already looked in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, reserved in chains of darkness, okay, until what? Judgment is what I didn't quote it right, but that's in the context it says there. Chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. All right, here's the judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, here's the context, verse 1. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? That's you and I getting a spat, you know, and we have to go to court for a judge to set it out. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Well, that tells us that you and I are going to be at the white throne judgment with Jesus Christ, kind of like a jury when he's judging those that are condemned. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So there's the judgment. They'll come up with the judgment at the white throne, evidently, and at that point, we'll be with the Lord there, and we'll execute a judgment with him. I have a sermon, and it's got a rude name, but I call it One Hell of an Awakening. Because that's what it's dealing with, people coming out of hell, being cast in the lake of fire. And the point of that judgment, that message is, we're going to be shocked when we see the opportunities we had to talk to people about Jesus Christ that we passed up on. And then we're there at their judgment. And some preachers have gone as far to say, you don't want somebody that's being judged by the saints and by the Lord to point their finger in your face and say, why didn't you tell me? When the Lord said, go ye into all the world, and the Lord said he had all power.